television a couple of weeks, maybe last week, to raise money for the Calgary, the flood. Did any of you see that? It ended with a song by Paul Brandt. And Paul Brandt is not in any way a secret follower of Jesus Christ. Besides being a great country and western musician and a great Albertan, he's also a clear follower of Christ. And he was one of the final presenters. And I was wondering, Paul, what are you going to sing? You know the song that he sang? That song. When peace like a river, it is well with my soul. And I sat there and I just, as we were singing this morning, I was seeing Paul Brandt singing that song with a choir of young people behind him on television right across Canada, CBC television right across Canada. It is well with my soul. It's good to know that it's well with our soul. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's just good to be with you again today. And nobody remembers a sermon. Nobody remembers a sermon. So I'm not expecting you to walk out of here and remember this sermon today. But maybe you'll get a sentence. And if you walk out of here with a sentence, whoa, that would be great. Now, do any of you believe things today that you didn't believe before? And do any of you not believe some things today that you used to believe? Huh? How many of you got some things that you used to believe, but you don't believe them anymore? Let me see your hand raised. I got one. Step on a crack, you'll... That's not true. You know, that's not true. You know what I mean? And here's one. Never start a new project on Friday. That's not true. But I know some people kind of believe that. They don't get much done at the end of the week, but they believe that. My mother was a bit superstitious. She was Welsh, and she would throw salt over her shoulder. I don't know what for, but, you know, that doesn't do any... Put salt on your potatoes. Don't throw it over your shoulder. That doesn't do any good to do that. You know what I mean? I don't believe anything about black cats anymore. Walk across my path, I'm still going forward. You know, I don't believe that anymore. And if we could take time this morning, we could put on a board dozens and dozens of things that you used to believe, but you don't believe them anymore. So, here's a coaching line. Self-discovery is what people act on. What you're going to act on is what you discover yourself. And when you discover it, you understand the context in which you discover it. You understand the picture frame that's around that truth. And it's what you discover yourself. That's what you act on in life. And so this morning, I trust that you'll hear something and you'll discover something as we're looking at the Word of God, something that you will act on. I trust that when we hear these really familiar words, you've heard these over and over again. But come with me. To a Galilean hillside. Sit down with me. I know you've got your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes on, but it's worth the grass stain. Sit down with me on the grass. And look down to a lonely figure down there. He's talking. There's lots of people on the hillside, 4,000 or 5,000 of us. And he's talking, and his voice is just coming up this natural amphitheater. It's filling this amphitheater with truth. And he's talking, and you can see beyond him the Sea of Galilee. It's really a spectacular sight. Jesus, the Sea of Galilee behind him. And he's saying some things. And I want you to listen to what he's saying as he talks to us. And I trust as he's talking to us that you'll discover something that will become a philosophy for you, that is true for you, that's true not only in Edmonton, but that it's true in Ethiopia. That's not only true in a Calgary, but that it's also true in Calcutta. That's what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in something that just works in Canada. I want something that will work around the world, wherever we would be. And listen to these sentences from Jesus as he talks to us. And here they are. And seeing the multitude, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he spoke He opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed, happy, to be envied are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And blessed, happy, to be envied are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed, happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice!" Are you crazy? What are you talking about? I'm going to deck them. Rejoice. And just in case you thought Jesus didn't know what he was talking about, look at the next phrase. Be exceedingly glad. He's not misspeaking here. He knows exactly what he's talking about. This radical, fanatical, nail him to the cross, Jesus. He knows exactly what he's saying. Rejoice. Be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Lifelines. Do you have some lifelines? Things you kind of live by, and when you come to crossroads in life and you don't know what to do, you just kind of dig into this treasure chest of lifelines, and it helps you to know what to do. Have you got those? We all have them, you know. Just things that help us when we do life. And as Jesus is talking to us today, he's sharing with us some lifelines, they're there to help us. And to help us as we are processing life. And the first one is this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes you reach a point in your life when you don't know what to do. And you're in a crisis. And my understanding from talking to people is that everybody comes to Christ in a point of crisis. It's when things are going terrible. It's when everything is blowing apart. And when you don't know what to do next, it's in moments like that that people come to Christ. It's in moments like, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. It's those moments when you just feel helpless. It's in those moments when you just feel hopeless. It is moments when you just feel hopeless. You can't get yourself up. In those moments where you just don't know what to do, it's in those moments that people come to Christ. Sometimes in life you win. Sometimes in life you learn, as John Maxwell says. And so in this moment of helplessness, I like the lifeline that says this: I've got what it takes to get what God's got. Say that with me. I've got what it takes to get what God's got. What do you have to have to get what God's got? What do you have to have? Do you have money? Do you have to be good looking? Do you have to be well educated? What do you have to get what God's got? Can I tell you what? Nothing. Nothing. A crisis. Isn't that great? Because we wouldn't get in on it if it was any other way, right? We've gotten in on it because we realize in order to get what God's got, you just have to be poor in spirit, that's all. And that's why blessed are the poor in spirit. Those people that are in a moment of crisis, helplessness. So if there's people in your world that are just like that, then they've got what it takes to get what God's got: misery. Amen? Because God specializes in people that are just in a miserable, hopeless, helpless situation. That's when Christ can step in and do something. Amen? Praise God. So that's the first lifeline. I've got what it takes to get what God's got. The second lifeline is this. If I feel, I will heal. And it's from, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. As we live life, to live life is to lose. Have you discovered that? That in life we're always losing. Sometimes our marriages don't make it to the goal line. Nobody gets married to get divorced, but sometimes that happens. Sometimes we have friends and all of a sudden those friends are gone. Sometimes you have a job and the job, for some reason, you lose it, whether you get smart-sized or downsized or something happens and you lose your job. We lose, sometimes you're standing over a little box like this and like this. I can't imagine what it's like to be the mother in Cambridge or we're in Ontario that stands beside the box of the two boys. It's like, you know, what's that like? I have no idea what that's like. But I can tell you something. To live is to lose. As you live life, you're going to lose. You just lose. And you have to know how to handle loss. And if you don't know how to handle loss, then you've got some alternatives. You've got to turn the music up. Because if it's too painful to think, you just got to make it so loud you don't have to think anymore. That's not God's plan. And some people turn their lifestyle. They just are going like crazy. Why? Because to go any slower would mean to think, and it's too painful to think. And there are other people that are pounding back stuff because it's just too painful to think. And so when it's too painful to think, they escape through medications or they escape through habits and drugs and stuff like that. And along comes radical Jesus, and he says this. I don't know who else says this but Jesus. Blessed are they that mourn. So if you're living life and you've lost, guess what? God's plan is you stop and you feel it. Don't run from it. Feel it. Feel it. Feel it deep. Feel it in all of its intensity. Feel it in stereophonic sound. Feel it. Because the more you feel it, the more God can heal it. And as you feel it, it's like a circle of pain. God subtracts from it, subtracts from it, subtracts from it, and suddenly then life becomes livable again. But if you don't feel it, God can't heal it. Did you get that? You know? So if I feel it, as you're living through life and something terrible happens, stop and feel it. Don't run from it. Feel it. Because if you feel it, God will heal it. He said, blessed are those that mourn, not those who keep a stiff upper lip. You know, like men don't cry. That's stupidness. That's just, and listen, it's hard to fix stupid. But no. Men cry. We feel it. And if we feel it, then God will heal it. Amen? That's the second principle. Let's look at the third lifeline. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And the third lifeline is this. I can just relax and be myself because God is in control. Like, in my life, I don't know if you're like me, but I've been pushed by panic. I've been driven by deadlines. I've become obsessed with opportunities. I've been arrested by agendas. I've been caught up by the clock. And it's just taken a hold of my life, all this kind of stuff. And along comes radical Jesus, and he says, blessed are the meek. They shall inherit the earth. Like, I've got yards of how-to books at home. Because I just don't want to be myself. Because I'm afraid if I'm just going to be little old puny Lorne McAllister, I'm not going to amount to a hill of anything. So I'm always trying to be somebody else. I want to look like somebody else and act like somebody else and sing like somebody else and preach like somebody else. I don't want to be me. Why would I want to be me? I'm just a loser if I'm me. I'd rather be a copycat of somebody else. And so I always try to find who's successful and I try to be like them. And then along comes Jesus. Radical, fanatical, nail him to the cross, Jesus. And Jesus says, Lord, would you please stop that stupidness? Why don't you just be yourself?
Yes.
Why don't you be a first-rate yourself? Don't try to be a tenth-rate photocopy of somebody else. Just be yourself, please. Hey, God thought the world needed me. God thought our world needed you. That's why you're here. You're only here for one reason, because God thought this world needed you. And he needs you to be you. And he needs me to be me. Amen? And so Jesus says, blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. Huh? And if you'll just be yourself and I'll just be, we'll leave our mark on this world. Huh? We'll inherit the earth. We'll make a difference. Amen? We'll accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. We'll get the job done. Amen? Let's just be ourselves. That's all. Amen? Where do you get that from? Well, Jesus. Moses is meek. Jesus is meek. And you and I can just be yourself. That's all. Blessed are the meek. So, here's the third one. I can relax and just be myself, because God is in control. So we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but we're to think soberly. But we're not to think more lowly of ourselves than we ought to either. We're just to think soberly, that's all. Just think soberly, and soberly is this: I'm a gift from God. I'm here on time. I'm here on purpose. I'm God's gift to this world, amen? Like it or lump it, folks, here I am. Huh? I can hear this little girl in a coaching session, and she felt so intimidated, so insignificant, and I says, look down my hall. And she looked down the hall. I says, there's a little girl coming down the hall. She's coming towards us, and she's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and louder and louder and louder as she's coming, and she's saying something. What's she saying? Well, listen to what she's saying. She's saying, here I come, world. My name is Sarah. Oh, here I come. I says, no, say it. And this girl said, here I come, world. My name is Sarah. I said, say it louder. Here I come, world. My name is Sarah. Say it louder. Here I come, world. My name is Sarah. Say it louder. Here I come, world. My name is Sarah. I said, say it louder. And she shouts it up. Here I come, world. My name is Sarah. And the tears are just chasing down her face. And her husband scoops her up in her arm. I mean, and you need to say the same thing, friend. Here I come, world. Amen. My name's Eleanor. Step aside, world. Here I come. Amen. Here I come. Amen. I'm not making any excuses anymore. Blessed are the meek. I'm just going to be me, that's all, and that's good enough. Amen. Blessed are the meek. Amen. They shall, whew, inherit the earth. So I took my coat off. I knew I was going to get hot this morning. Okay. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. And the fourth lifeline is this. I hope you'll grab this one. I'm going to get what I really go for in life. Now, this principle works in every area of life. I don't know an area that this principle doesn't work in. It works in every area of life. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. It works in the realm of economics. It works in the realm of education. It works in the realm of athletics. It works in every realm. It works in the realm of music. Every realm it works in. It works in the realm of faith. That you are going to get in life what you really go for. That's what you're going to get. That's what you're going to get. I got a friend that doodles, and when he doodles dollar signs. He's a pretty rich guy. He's just always thinking money. A gal played a beautiful classical song on the piano. And the place exploded with applause. And after she was at the back, shaking hands with people as they walked out of the auditorium, and a lady came up to her and said to her, I'd give my life to play the piano like that. And she says, that's exactly what I did. That's what I had to do. I had to give my life to play the piano like that. Because in life you get what you really go for. Friend, if you don't like what you got in life, then start really going for something. Amen? Because you get what you really go for. I mean, it's true of athletics. I hear about Lorne Braithwaite slapping pucks against his garage door until the thing is just black and white with puck marks. And he's improving his accuracy. And I know that what he's doing is no different than the basketball player or the football player or the baseball player that's in the batting cage just taking batting practice and all of that. Because you get in life what you really go for. And in the faith realm, it's true. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Amen. Go for God. Go for Him with all you've got. Amen. And you're going to, He'll fill you up. Amen. Because it works in the faith realm too. Amen. And it's the motivation principle. It's really important to be just motivated in the correct way. So, lifeline number 5. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I'm going to get what I give in life. It's the sowing and reaping principle. And the Bible is full of this principle. It illustrates this in a dozen different settings. Here it's in this setting. And it's the sowing and reaping principle around the concept of mercy. That you and I are going to get what we give in life. Did you get that? What are you going to get in life? You're going to get in life what you give in life. Nobody can sidestep this. It's the reaping and sowing. The caring, get cared for. The forgiving, get forgiven. The loving, get loved. The friendly, get friendship. And so you have to ask yourself, what do you want? Well, when you figure out what you want, then start giving that. Amen? Because you get what you give. And in this context, it's the context of mercy. Blessed are the merciful. Those who just say, oh, I don't have to get my own way. No, I don't have to be compensated. No, no, I don't have to get even. I'll just be merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Because in life, you're going to get what you give. Lifeline number 6. I'm going for godliness, and God is going for me. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When you get tempted, do you get tempted in black and white, or do you get tempted in color? I get tempted in color. I can smell it. I can hear it. I can taste it. It's coming at me in high definition. And you get tempted like that? I'm not promoting anything. I'm just saying, you know. Like, never once have I had this temptation. Hey, Lauren, why don't you drink? Then you could throw up and fall in it. I've never had that temptation, but I've had some other ones. Like Chuck Swindoll getting on the elevator in a town where nobody knows him, in a hotel where nobody knows who he is. Chuck Swindoll, great preacher. And as he gets on the elevator, a very available, very gorgeous lady gets on the elevator with him. And Chuck Swindoll, as a kind Christian gentleman, says to her, "What floor, ma'am?" She turned to him and says, "Doesn't matter." And all of a sudden, Chuck Swindoll realized the game was on. That gal was very available to come into his room and do whatever he wanted to have done. The game was on. So how do you handle things like that? How do you handle those moments when the game's on? Well, can I tell you what doesn't work for me? The hope of heaven and the hatred of hell doesn't work for me then. I wish I could tell you it helped me, but it doesn't help me then. But this principle helps me. Blessed, like why would I be pure? You know what I think? I always get the feeling if I'm going to be pure and live for God and be godly and holy and righteous, I'm going to get cheated. I'm going to miss some stuff. I'm going to miss some laughs. I'm going to miss some fun. I'm going to miss some parties. I mean, that's what I battle with. And along comes radical Jesus and says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." Why am I going to go for God? Here's why I'm going to go for God. Because blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Amen. Amen. And you want God to show up in your world when the curtain comes back and there's God. There's Jesus. There's the Holy Spirit. And God is there. If you'll be pure in heart, amen, amen, then God's going to show up. Hallelujah. Amen. And He'll show up on the date, young man, young woman. He'll show up at your work site. He'll show up at church, yes, of course, but at work, amen. He'll show up where you, in your home. He'll show up. Blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. It'll help you. It'll help you. Well, there's two more. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. I'm going for peace and a God-given reputation. Peace. I read a book recently called The Anatomy of Peace. It's not a Christian book. It's a great read by the Arbinger Institute. I don't suppose you're going to get it, but it's a great read. Snag it from the library if you can. It's a great read. And in that book, I came across a principle, and it's this, that we do life from two hearts. We do life from either a heart that's at peace. Let's look at the next slide, please. Or we do life from a heart that's at war. And when we do life from a heart that's at peace, we see people as people. Like one of the songs you sang this morning was "Help Me to Treat People Right." Remember that you sang us? That was early on. You know, it was the second verse of the song. And you'll treat people right when you start to see people as people, different from you, different values than you've got, different goals than you've got, different personality than you've got, but worthy for one only reason, that they're people. Amen. That's all. And when you start to see people as people, then you can treat them right. Or we see people as objects, different from us, and frustrating us to no end. And the best thing we could do is we could just fire them. As the book I was reading, Cold Hard Truth by Kevin O'Leary. He's been, someone's on my team and not working out, and they're not contributing, and he says, I bring them into my office, the human resource person's there. He says, I look at them and saying to them, this isn't working, you're fired. It's easy to do that when you see people as objects. Worked at a church, and there was a lady in that church that was bigger than I was. She worked on staff too. She slept in places I never thought of sleeping. I knew of a few places to sleep, but she had some better places to sleep than I knew of to sleep. And I just saw this person kind of dragging around, you know, kind of doing the job. And I just thought, you know, we had to fire her. And then one day, I saw her as my father, because my dad was bigger than me. And I thought to myself in that moment, yeah, she's a valuable person. Driving me crazy, but she's a valuable person. She's a part of God's family. And in that moment, I said to myself, nobody knows this, I'm committed to her success. She didn't even know it. But quietly, I committed myself to her. You know what that meant? That meant when she kept the garbage bags by the kitchen door, and it took about 50 steps to get them out to the dumpster, I took them out there for her. She didn't even know that. I just whipped them out there. And I was in the men's washroom. Hey, guys, you want to take your wife someplace she's never been? And it's inexpensive? Take her to the men's washroom. Anyway, another thing. Anyway, you know, and I could pick up some towels or wipe a window. You know, just take a minute or two. I just started doing those little wee things. What had changed? Only one thing had changed. I started to see this person as a person. And when I started to see her as a person, then I started to realize that she was valuable, honorable, different from me. Could drive me crazy if I let her, but I said, I'm not going to do that anymore because she's a person. And so Jesus says this, blessed are the peacemakers. It's easy to cause war. It's easy to do that. But blessed, happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Amen. And if you want to have a God-given reputation, like I can think of all the titles we could have slapped under our name, like doctor or lawyer or dentist or nurse. But I'll tell you a better title than that. Child of God. Amen. You can't beat that. Amen. And you want to have child of God slapped on your name, then just be a peacemaker. That's all. Blessed are the peacemaker. They shall be called children of God. Amen. Well, let's look at the last one this morning, the eighth one. I'm going for influence, not popularity. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We are not here, please understand this, we are not here to be popular. We're not here to be unpopular either. That's not why we're here. It's not about popularity. Because the thing is, if you go for popularity, young man, young woman, if you go for popularity, I'll tell you, it'll put you in a prison in that high school of yours, and it'll keep you in that prison longer than you want to be in that prison, because you've got to dress a certain way, you've got to act a certain way, you've got to do a certain thing, because you've got to be popular. And if you go for that, it'll put you in a prison, and it'll take you down a path farther than you want to go, and it'll keep you in that prison longer than you want to be in there. And radical Jesus is trying to set us free from that. And he says this, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Amen. For theirs is the kingdom of God. So it's great when people think well of us, but it's okay when they don't think well of us. Because we're not here to be popular. Do you know what we're here for? We're here to influence. Can I give that to you again? You and I are here to influence. We're here to be light in a world of darkness. We're here to be truth in a world that's crooked and crazy and corrupt. We're here to be righteous in a world that's unrighteous. Amen. We're going to crash into this world. You just can't be a follower of Jesus Christ and not crash into the world. You're going to crash into it. Not our goal, but it just happens. And when you do that, people aren't going to understand you. They're not going to agree with you. They're not going to speak well of you. In fact, the Bible says, beware when all men speak well of you. That's dangerous when that happens. Because if we're going to be followers of Jesus Christ, I'm not promoting anything, but what happened to radical, fanatical, nail him to the cross, Jesus, could happen to you and I. Could happen to us. So Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for my sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So there they are. I've got what it takes to get what God's got. If I feel it, I will heal it. I can relax and just be myself. God is in control. I'm going to get what I really go for in life. I'm going to get what I give in life. I'm going to for godliness, and God is going for me. I'm going for peace and a God-given reputation. Number 8, I'm going for influence. I'm not going for popularity. So, how can all this happen? I think the only way that those radical things are possible is if you've got Jesus inside of you. I don't know how you can hook into these lifelines unless you've got Christ. You've crossed the faith line and Christ has come into you. And this morning, if you're here today and you've never done that, you've never just walked through the door where Jesus is and let Jesus walk into the door where you are. And in him you start to live and you start to move and you start to have your being. If you've never done that, I just want you to know that the option is wide open for you today to do that. That Jesus will come in, and in you he'll live, and in you he'll start to move, and he'll start to think through you and live through you. And these can become a reality for you in Edmonton, Canada. 2013. This can become a reality for you today. Let's pray. So in a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer of having Christ come into your heart. And if you're here today and you've never invited Christ into your heart, or Christ is not in your heart today, you just, for some reason, he's not there. But you'd like him to move in, and you'd like him to be inside of you, and you'd like to just make a cross a faith line, you'd like to open the door and invite Christ in. In a moment, if you'd raise your hand, it'll let me know to include you in the prayer. So from the back to the front, how many here? You just slip a hand up, and as you're raising your hand, saying, Lord, please pray with me. I just would like Jesus, radical Jesus, to come into my life and make truth like this an option for me. Just slip your hand up, and I'll know to include you in my prayer. I'm not asking you to join anything, not asking you to pay anything. I'm only asking you to open up your life to Jesus today. If you'd like to do that, just slip your hand up, and I'll know to include you in the closing prayer. Amen. Yes, yes. Yeah, amen. Yes. Yeah, 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 yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Good. Let's stand, shall we? Jesus, you see the hands that were raised. You see the heart that didn't raise a hand but is saying yes to you today. And I ask Christ Jesus right now that you'll just come in. Come in a bold way. Come in a big way. Come in the eternal way that only you can come in. And take control of each life today. In Jesus' name, I pray for the freedom that comes through you. I pray for the peace that comes. Come in right now today. And as we've sang many times in our Sunday school, come in today. Come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for coming in today. And we thank you for making that big difference. In Christ's name we pray. We pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it's been good being in the house of the Lord today. Amen. And it's good, been good hearing from the Word of God. Amen. And worshiping the Lord. We've had a great day. Praise God. And we went into overtime. So you got your money's worth today. Okay. Good. God bless you. Greet one another when you do that. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for the joke. Amen. Yeah. Good being with you today.
Yeah, it's good.
Thank you.
Good food for thought there today. Oh.